praise God, He's given us one more opportunity to gather for worship, to sing praises, to look into His Word and apply it to our lives. I didn't know if I would be here this morning. During this past week, both Kathy and I have had a lot of trouble with coughs and colds, and hence my cold water is right there, which I need anyway because I run out of saliva when I get in front of people and get nervous. Kathy commented Thursday that I don't have to feel compelled to speak the same amount of time as Pastor Jen. I'm so glad she's removed that constraint. Well, we find principles in the Scriptures that God wants us to develop in our lives, habits, if you will. And speaking from experience, good habits are hard to make and bad habits are hard to break. And here's an example from the animal world. My folks had a Dalmatian named Defer. Yes, Defer. Okay, one day, as my folks' car headed out the driveway, Defer followed. They continued driving, thinking Defer would stop following and return home, but she didn't. You see, Defer had this habit of chasing after every vehicle that came by the house, but this was the first, following the folks' car for a change. Well, it was a hot day, and finally Mom suggested they stop and load up the dog and take her back home. Defer was getting pretty hot. Dad didn't think they should, since Defer might expect that royal treatment next time. So they turned around and had Defer follow them back home. By this time, Defer was really hot, so they got a damp towel and watered her down while she panted at the verge of collapse. They didn't know if she was even going to make it when suddenly she escaped from their grip and took off towards the road to chase a vehicle as it passed by. It was her habit, good or bad. I guess Defer thought that was her job, do or die, and there was no telling her otherwise, especially since she was deaf as a post, hence the name, Defer. My little nephew named her. Oh, it takes work and focus to attain good habits. That can be hard work. As we look at this portion of Ephesians, we need to see these verses not as suggestions, but as imperatives. Good habits commanded for everyday life. Let's choose, therefore, to have a great time this morning in the Lord, seeking His will for our lives through our study. If you are able, please stand as we read these verses together from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18 from the handout. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Let's pray together. Our Father, once again, we pray that you would open our eyes and ears to your Word, that it would pierce us. Father, that your Word would shine through in such a dark world that we have to contend with each and every day outside these doors. We just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. On the handout that I have there, you can kind of follow along through the verses that we'll be looking at here. And I won't go into detail on those. Since you've got the verses, you can read them. And keep up with us as we go along here. As we begin our study, I want us to check out this first word in Ephesians 6, verse 10. And that word is finally. Okay, there's going to be a reason why I asked for answers from you this morning, and I'll share that shortly. That word finally follows naturally from the progression of therefores previously used in the book of Ephesians and leads us to the last therefore in verse 13 of today's text. Early in this church's history, we had a regular guest speaker by the name of Reverend Moon, who spoke often from Ephesians, including this section on May 5th of 1985. It was also spoken about on November 11th of 1984, only like 4 or 5 months into the beginning of the church. And it's been spoken on several times since then. Well, the question he always wanted us to ask is, what is the therefore there for? Well, it means for this or that reason, on that ground or account, or consequently. In science class, I remember drawing that glyph that I think I've already mentioned. It's a triangle of dots, one at the top and two at the bottom, at the end of an experiment to represent the word therefore. The three dots mean that as a result of the facts either verified or nullified by an experiment, here's the conclusion that we can draw. In the scriptures, therefore precedes a wrap-up or a call to action, precipitating from what has been laid out before. I've printed out all those therefores of Ephesians on the handout. From these, we see Paul has drawn many strong conclusions from the nature of God and his revelations through his Son, Jesus Christ. What God would have us to know and to do. In Ephesians 2, verses 11 and 13, Paul urges us to remember that we Gentiles have been brought to Christ by his blood. With a therefore in Ephesians 3, verses 13 to 19, Paul urges us to use our free access to God with confidence and not to be discouraged at his sufferings on our account. Then he prays that we might understand the width and length and height and depth of Christ's love, which he describes accurately as surpassing knowledge. That is a blessed assurance. Therefore, from Ephesians 4:25, having been brought out of deceit and into the truth, so we must speak it and do it. Live it. From Ephesians 5, verse 1, just as in Christ God has forgiven us, we are therefore to be imitators of God as his children, to live a life of love by Christ's example. Therefore, it's also used in Ephesians 5, 7 to warn us not to partner with the disobedient, and in Ephesians 5, 17, warning us not to live foolishly, but to seek God's will. I strongly believe what Paul is saying is that in all that we think, say, and do, we are to be a reflection of Christ to the world. Now, you ever had someone come up to you and say, why? You know, you look just like your mom or dad. Well, I have lots of times. We did look similar on the outside. After all, we're all made in God's image. But it's what's inside that counts, so they say. Well, ponder this. In respect to becoming the likeness of Christ, are we a chip off the old block? When people look at us, do they see Jesus in what we do and say? To sum all of this up then, in Paul's words in Ephesians 6:13, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Children's, fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, all people are included in the urgent call to obedience to God's will. Let's begin, therefore, with Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Notice, we are not asked to be strong in our wit and our cleverness, our physical strength, or knowledge of self-defense like karate. We are not being asked to do what follows in the next few verses. We are being encouraged, compelled by the wisdom of logical argument for our own spiritual welfare, knowing that from the historical accounts in Genesis all the way to the evil that permeates the entire world today, Our enemy is strong beyond mere human power to overcome. No, we are to be strong how? In the Lord. Look, you get a star. All right. In the Lord and in His mighty power. God's power has been demonstrated numerous times in the past, changing the Nile's water into blood, taking the firstborn of Egypt that first Passover night. With God's power, Elijah took on the 450 prophets of Baal. When they had failed to evoke a response from their so-called God, Elijah stepped forward, had the altar completely saturated with water, and then called upon the power of God. 1 Kings 18:36 to 39 says, "At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, 'O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" God has shown His power time and again throughout history. Nothing slips by God. Nothing slips up God. We, on the other hand, we're weak-minded and we're weak physically. We can't speak one single thing into existence. Too many can't hold their families together, let alone hold the moon in orbit. We think we've done something pretty special when we invent Post-its or super glue or discover how to separate super glued fingers, which I shared in Sunday school how to do that. Let alone how to split an atom. We seem to forget He who created the atom and holds the entire universe together. Let's look at verse 11. "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Football is not it's not number one on my list of things to watch. I know a couple things about football for sure. The quarterback is not a refund. The right guard is not a deodorant. I'm sure you've heard all those in the past. If you've watched some football, you've probably noticed something all the players have in common. They all play with helmets and padding and jerseys and pants and special shoes. But beyond these essentials for restricting physical injuries, there's something else I've noticed. Team members all have on the same uniform. Maybe that's why they call them uniforms. Now, they aren't all exactly the same. Some have numbers or other printing that shows their individuals, but you can easily see which team is which. And the teams seem, except for the Jaguars recently, they seem to be working towards the same desired result, to score and win the game. Well, that's all fine and dandy if our struggle is against another team playing football, but that's not real life. That's not the real battle. Verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." I believe this is one reason why our country struggles on issues that some of us may find very black and white. We're not fighting the same battles. We're not all on the same team. Some of us know that the devil not only lurks around every corner, but is at work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, everywhere in the world, and in places we can't see with human eyes. Satan doesn't take a break, nor should we. Too many people don't recognize they're being used by Satan. Other people are trying their best to follow God's will. At the same time, they're being told they need to be more tolerant. I saw a piece on TV a while back that made this so clear to me. Some people were attacking Christians in the Bible, yet when they were asked, admitted, they didn't know much about the Bible, what it says. And they didn't even have a clue what a true Christian was. As Christians, we are to be more than just aware of the dark powers at work around us, but to be prepared for the battle we will encounter if we choose to actually take a stand for Christ. Verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Evil's influence on us started a long time ago. For each of us, it started the day we were born and will continue to wrestle, to pick, to jab, to poke, to stab, to roundhouse, to uppercut, to sucker punch, all of us, until the day we go into the Lord's presence. If you're a Christian, you've got Christ on your side, and your full armor will deflect anything and everything in this spiritual battle the evil one chooses to throw at you from his arsenal. Now, as Pastor Jim would say, please don't hear me say that if you choose Jesus as your Savior, your life will be a bed of roses. I really doubt anyone here can make that claim. I don't see any hands raised. Actually, Jesus made it very clear in John 16:33 when he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Right there, Jesus has guaranteed Christians will have trouble. But he gives us the proper gear to pull us through, scars and all, into everlasting life with him. Okay, let's look at this armor. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. We must learn to discern between truth, what God says, and the deception and lies the world says. If we decide we're going to follow Christ, we need to gather as much knowledge and wisdom about him as we can. And we need to enter into the battle with a sincere heart, not haphazardly. Now, you would probably have to be my senior to recall this, but years ago, Ron Melvin mentioned to me a counterexample of sincerity in the character of Elmer Blurt. He was a bashful door-to-door salesman who would utter these words as he approached each front door. Nobody at home, I hope. Now think about it. That's not exactly a constructive attitude. If we are to take on the full armor of God, we have to be sold out for Jesus. All in, nothing held back. Even withholding just a little of ourselves is proof we aren't serious about a commitment. But with truth surrounding us, we stockpile discernment, integrity, and faithfulness, the strength from which we can draw in troubled times, and the foundation from which we build up our full armor. A lifetime built upon the foundation of living true to our call, daily seeking a stronger relationship with our Savior, that will ensure we don't turn back in the heat of the battle. Verse 14 continues, with a breastplate of righteousness in place. This is the armor that guards our heart's purposes. Sanctified and righteous living. Verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In biblical times, the Roman soldiers often wore brass on the soles of their feet. You know why?
So they won't slide in battle.
Maybe, but there's another reason. Can anybody tell me what a caltrop is? C-A-L-T-R-O-P. Caltrop. There's spikes. In the handout I have there, if you open that up to it, it'd be like the third page there. There's a picture of what one would look like. It was like a four-pointed spike that you could throw out on the ground and it would always have a spike pointing up, the way that it was made. Approaching enemy would have to step carefully or fall victim to them, and horses would definitely have a hard time avoiding ramming them into their feet. Besides the vehicles, chariots and stuff, even hitting those things would knock them all over the place. Empowered with the knowledge of the gospel, we can proceed knowing the tricks and the snares that Satan has in for us, not turning to the right nor to the left, with our path fully lit, able to proceed in our steady course with the peace and assurance that God is in control. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. In today's battles, our soldiers use body armor, tanks, and armored Humvees. Maybe Dave Langham can provide some details about that last one from past experience. The Romans used a wooden shield covered with linen and leather to absorb blazing arrows. It was a primary defensive weapon. Well, what might Satan throw at us? Blazing arrows of accusations, bad memories, troubling circumstances, irritants, anxiety, seasons of fear. But solid faith in the Lord's good purpose will pull us through, enabling us to deflect the advances of our enemy, renewing our conviction and determination to accomplish His good work in and through us, all to His glory. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. My head's kind of valuable to me. I take it everywhere I go. How about yours? It needs to be protected. A helmet can give us protection when we're bicycling, skateboarding, motorcycling, snowmobiling, any time that we're in motion or when something is in motion towards us. Now, we don't always wear our helmet. But if the devil attacks, we need the helmet of salvation for both the present attack and the hope of salvation for future deliverance. Without the helmet of salvation, the rest of the armor is absolutely meaningless. Without salvation, we are presently in grave danger, and we are also eternally lost. Continuing, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Whereas the belt of truth is learning and obtaining the truth of Scripture, the sword is putting that knowledge and wisdom to work. While all the other parts of the armor are mostly defensive, we know the sword can also be used for offense. Christ used this weapon 3 times when tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He quoted Scripture to answer each of Satan's temptations, and Satan left. We are urged to use it as our weapon against the enemy's attack. Speaking God's word shows others that we mean business. We aren't just aware of the Bible, but are able to apply it to our lives with the assurance of Christ's provisions because of His abundant love for us. There's a lot of weight in our speech when it quotes the Bible in context. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Communication with the commander can make a difference in the battlefield. He's constantly digesting all the information from all the sources he can get his hands on. He sees what's on all sides of the battle, and he's had the special training and experience that will give his soldiers the best chance of survival if his orders are carried out to the letter. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 tells us just a little about how we are to respond, whether under attack or not. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray when? Always. Give thanks when? In all circumstances. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. We need to keep close contact with our commander, our Father, God, who sees all and knows all. Can you think of anyone else that you would put your trust in, whose wisdom and power you would rather draw from? If you're not a Christian, I need to speak to you for a moment. You see, all this armor we've been looking at is for Christians. There's no shield of faith without their first being faith. If you do not have Christ as your Savior, you cannot wear the helmet of salvation. The sword, the Word of God, cannot be of use to you if you have no use for it. Maybe you're asking yourself if Jesus is able to save even you. Well, He can. And actually, there's only one type of person Jesus cannot save. Before I tell you who it is, I'll tell you who He's not. It's not the person who thinks his sin is so great that it cannot be forgiven, because Jesus can forgive all sin, whether you think it's big or small. The facts are found in the Bible. Let me read. Romans 10, verse 9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." That I say might be saved? No. You will be saved. Acts 2:21, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Some? No, all. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The statement actually finds its roots in the Old Testament, in the book of Joel. Joel 2:32 says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Who will be saved? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Well, I've shared this many times, but I'll say it again. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And my preferred version, God said it, that settles it. We should be in agreement then. When God says something, it's important. But if He repeats it, it's very important. If He repeated it again, as in this case, in both the Old and New Testaments, it's very important. How important? Our eternal lives depend on it. Okay, so who is it that Jesus cannot save? That's an easy one. The person who cannot be saved is the person who does not want to be saved. The Bible makes it clear that on our own, we would need to be perfect in order to go to heaven. The Bible makes us aware that only through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross can our imperfection be swept from us. In order for the armor of God to protect us, we must first allow Jesus, the great physician, to cure us, to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness, all the things that God the Father finds despicable in our lives. God has provided for this through His Son, Jesus, who came to pay the price for our sin, which He willingly did upon the cross. He then proved His power over death with His resurrection from the tomb that first Easter morning. There's nothing we can possibly do to earn our way into heaven. The Bible is extremely clear on this. Salvation is only by the blood of Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God. Now please bear with me and let's all bow our heads right now. If you haven't asked Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sins and would like to reach out to Him for salvation, just take a moment to pray with me right now and say something like this. God knows your heart. Dear Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. I want You to come into my life right now and change my heart that I may, from this day forward, live for You and one day see You face to face in heaven. Thank You for taking the burden of my sin from me, for loving me so much that You died on the cross for my sin. Help me to live each day from now on for You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer this morning, please share your decision with me or one of the other elders, Al Roche or Dave Langham, or another brother or sister here after the service today, in order that we can rejoice together and we can in turn pray for you. If you prayed to accept Jesus, you are a new creation, a new person, and that's cause for celebration. As we face choices this week, will we entertain good habits and armor ourselves, or will we continue to chase after every distraction that comes down the road that drains our energy and fogs our focus, turning a deaf ear to what God has to say to us in the heat of the battle. We have our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have the protection connection, armor to protect us against the whims of Satan. We have assurance that Jesus will be with us even to the end of the age. And we have this promise once again from John 16:33, when Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Considering all the therefores of Ephesians, as Christians, we should be able to recognize each other as being on the same team, in the same army. We may not all have uniforms that say we're Christians, though. That might not be a bad idea. However, each of us must put on the full armor of God to be prepared for the worst of the attacks of the devil, in order that we may receive the best, the protection and love of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to be like Him and with Him forever. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your provisions for both our daily needs and our forever needs. You haven't left us defenseless in this dark world. In fact, you've given us your best, your love, your word, your Son. Thank you for the armor that only you can provide. Help us each day to take up the cause of Christ at work, at play, in our coming and our going, knowing that the time is short. We just want to thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.